911, what's the address of the emergency?
The story is true.
Summit County Justice Files.
All true stories on the Summit County Justice Files. Welcome to the Justice Files. It's your weekly dose of law and order. Well, somewhat weekly. You know, we try. Yeah. It's Summit County style. It's brought to you by Crystal 93 and the Summit County Sheriff's Office. I'm Tom Fricke with Crystal 93 here with Summit County Sheriff Jamie Fitzsimons, and we are here to inform and educate and engage with our community.
Yes, and before we get started, just a quick disclaimer. The Justice Files exclude some of the more serious and sensitive offenses, as well as ongoing investigations that could jeopardize prosecution. And of course, everyone accused of a crime is presumed innocent until proven guilty in a court of law.
Crime may not pay, but it sure makes for some interesting stories. So buckle up as we dive into the latest criminal activity, the lessons learned, and yes, more than just a few moments of law enforcement levity, because while justice is serious business, a little humor never hurt anyone. Unless, of course, it was a crime of bad jokes.
We don't tell bad jokes.
No, we don't tell bad
jokes. All our jokes are funny.
Yes.
To us.
Yeah, to us.
To us.
And that's really all that matters. A little self-indulgent
and
podcast.
And our audience likes us, so it's funny to them.
It's all
because
good.
It's funny to us.
Right. So they get it.
Yeah.
They're all in on it. Starting out with an assault, an intoxicated male fell asleep while cooking, causing his Summit Cove home to fill with smoke. He and his elderly housemate argued over the incident, which later escalated when the younger man ambushed the older one and sprayed him in the face with a fire extinguisher.
How about that one?
Wow.
Yeah. And when the deputies got there, this guy barricaded himself in his bedroom and wouldn't come out. After he assaulted his elderly roommate. So it got to the point where the deputies literally, held him at bay in his room while the detectives went out and got a search warrant to go through the door to go get him. And were able to eventually, after a multi-hour standoff, take him into custody safely and securely.
Multi hours.
This guy would not come out.
Wow. Intoxication, obviously, cause.
It's. Yes.
Yes.
Or very tired, fell asleep. You know.
Either or.
But yeah, I mean, these things, you just never know what's behind the door or what's going on or why someone's barricaded themselves, tried to negotiate. I mean, it wasn't like hours of dead time. It was hours of negotiating while, you know, I know on TV you get search warrants really quick and stuff, but in real life it doesn't happen that way.
Yeah.
It takes a minute to go write them, let them be reviewed by the district attorney, then go to the courts, get them signed off by a judge, and then actually go serve it. So in one, we need the search warrant to go through the door, and then the arrest warrant to arrest him on.
But in this
complicated
case,
stuff.
Everything turned out fine.
Yes, but not in a 30-minute TV episode.
Well, yeah.
Or even an hour episode.
Or even on the length of a podcast.
Yes.
Yeah.
Everyone was safe, and he went to jail.
All right. Next item is a skier violation. Copper Ski Patrol called deputies for assistance after a skier arrived at the mountain to ski uphill. The mountain is closed for the season, including uphill travel. Ski Patrol informed the man of this, but he continued uphill anyway. We have body cam audio.
How's it going? How are you?
Great, sir.
So, the resort is closed to uphill. And you're obviously going uphill.
Okay.
And you were told that it was closed, right?
Or is it mountain, dude?
Yeah.
Bro, I'm making a sport, healthy life.
Yeah.
I am not doing disasters. I am not still.
I am not
lying.
Yep.
Why the hell are you on the mountain?
Because it's closed. And there's still operations going on, and that's why it's closed. And that's why it's closed to uphill, right?
Okay, makes sense.
So, this is what we're going to do.
Okay.
Do you have an ID on you?
No.
Okay. Where are you from?
From Chile.
Chile. Are you just up here for vacation, or do you?
No, I have now 4 years here.
Oh, you live up here now?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I picked my taxes and everything.
Gotcha.
Yeah. You have cold.
Yeah.
It's cold.
It is cold.
Yeah.
Where are you staying at? Where do you live?
Now in Vail.
Vail?
Yeah.
Why'd you come to Copper?
Because in Vail no snow.
Gotcha. Yeah, it rained a lot, right?
Yeah. It's raining, but have a snow, but no enough like this, you know? So,
yeah,
that's the only thing.
Yep. Okay, so what we're going to do...
I go to jail?
You're going to get a ticket. It's okay. Just a ticket.
Do I need to pay?
You're going to have to go to court, and a judge will tell you what you need to pay. It will depend if you have a criminal record, which you sound like you don't. Mm-hmm. And so it will be up to $1,000, but usually it's like $50 to $100.
$100?
Usually.
Usually.
Yeah. So these are going to be some very expensive turns, but you are going to need to transition, and we'll meet you at the bottom.
Okay.
At least you'll get some turns in.
So what? Greg?
You're going to have to transition and go down.
Yeah, yeah.
Then ski down.
Okay,
from,
cool.
From here.
Okay,
and cool. we'll meet you at the bottom.
Okay, cool.
Sounds thanks. Good?
Yeah, sounds good.
All right, thank you.
Yeah.
Very expensive turns.
Do you like that?
I like
these
that.
Are going to be very expensive turns.
Yeah.
And I like how it's all good and I understand I'm going to go down.
Right.
Because a deputy's telling them.
Sure.
You know, Ski Patrol already said, like, you got to turn around. That, they already right. caught up to him once. And by the time the deputy in Ski Patrol had to take them up on a snowmobile.
Oh, wow.
To meet this guy.
Yeah.
And, you know, now, of course, he's cordial going, oh, of course, I'll turn around right now and ski down. And he's like, these are going to be expensive turns. It's like, why did you turn around when Ski Patrol asked you to? Closed is closed.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. So, right. Yeah, he'll find out how expensive when he goes to court.
Right. Meanwhile, the ski areas are getting ready for summer operations.
Yes.
For good reason, the slopes are closed for
uphill
travel.
And as you know, with Copper, they literally move snow around to keep the training open during the summer for the kids.
Because they move stuff from the half pipe at the bottom all the way up to the Camp Woodward practice areas.
Yes.
Yeah.
So this was like an active, you know, like it wasn't kidding around. Ski Patrol said, look, there's a lot of machinery moving around here, and we're pushing snow everywhere, and the mountain's closed. The guy's like, see, I'm going up.
And he got some very expensive turns.
Imagine the look on his face when he sees a snowmobile come up for the deputy.
Yeah.
Going, uh-oh.
They're serious.
Uh-oh.
Wow.
Yeah, this one went viral, by the way, on the internet. We posted something about this, and it went crazy on the internet. Everyone wanted to know about who's this guy skiing uphill at Copper.
And now he's famous.
And now he's famous.
And not so
anonymously
much
famous.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Next item is DUI. A man was stopped in Dillon Valley for expired plates and showed signs of impairment. And during the stop, a deputy observed a large jar full of marijuana in the passenger seat.
You know, it's only funny for the podcast, but it's funny that all of these, it's like that we talk about are drug and alcohol induced, and they always have it sitting out like it's okay. Like,
right.
I mean, that's, isn't it legal in Colorado? Oh,
it's no big deal. What?
What? I mean, I can't have a few beers and then smoke a few bowls and drive home? I don't understand.
Probably that's not a good idea.
So needless to say, this person was arrested and booked on driving under the influence.
And another...
And his jar of marijuana was taken away.
Yeah.
Sir, you can't smoke weed and drive.
Another danger off the roads.
Yes. That's the main and another jar of marijuana off the street.
Right. Where does that go? Into evidence? Or?
Yes. Hey, and the court could order it to give it back, too.
Oh, really?
Oh, sure.
Do they do that?
What? Judge can do whatever they want to do.
Oh, that's true. That's
you know, I mean, if you think about it, since it is legal, I mean, it's just like if we confiscated the alcohol, the judge could say, all right, and give him his bottle of whiskey back.
Yeah.
Could say, give him his jar of weed back.
Interesting.
Yeah, you can't just toss it out like on the road and go, beat it. You
can't just burn it in the incinerator.
No. Or in your cars don't have ashtrays
anymore. No, they don't anymore.
Ashtray. No.
Sorry.
Just think there's people in this pocket. Ashtray? What's an ashtray? In a car? What's an ashtray?
What?
And cigarette lighter and
cigarette lighters, yeah. Those were the classics.
God, those were great.
Oh, the good old days.
Oh.
Let's talk about this suspicious incident. A woman in unincorporated Silverthorne returned home to find a door that she expected to be unlocked was, in fact, locked. Additionally, her washing machine was running. And have audio.
I live in Silverthorne. I have had an incident that I cannot explain.
It's like a UFO.
I had a door locked that should not be locked. There was something wrong. And I was out at the park walking my dog. And when I came home, this door that is never under any circumstances locked was locked. And then my washing machine was on. It was very, very strange. My washing machine is right by the door that was locked, which is in a laundry room, which you come in. We are in Hamilton Creek.
Okay.
And I cleared the house with my dog.
Do you love that? I cleared the house.
I did a good job, but I don't have a handgun or anything. In fact, I can't shoot a handgun anymore. My hands are too weak.
Wow.
And so I just took the dog with me. I called my son to ask him if he accidentally locked this door. And he said not under any circumstances. He had been here for Mother's Day in the morning.
Okay.
So I talked to him, and he said, Mom, call the sheriff's office. And I said, no. I took the dog through the house, and he said, call the sheriff's office. You don't have to do this, but if you think that it would be advisable that I have somebody walk through my house, it's a pretty big house.
Okay, you can definitely have someone do that. That's not a problem.
Are you? I don't want to trouble anyone, honestly. But
you're not troubling.
I am here alone.
We're here for. Yeah, you're here. You're there alone. This is what we're here for. You're not troubling us. We can definitely send a deputy up there to go and make sure everything is safe. Okay.
Thank you so much for telling me it's okay.
Yeah, of course.
I appreciate that, and I will bring my dog in so he won't be worried about the sheriff. But
perfect.
He's a safe dog. He's not a dangerous dog.
He's
but
a good
I have
boy.
Somebody in my house, I hope he looks real dangerous.
Yeah, I would too. Of course.
I do appreciate it, and you have a good rest of your day.
Thank you. Bye.
So that door never gets locked.
Not under
any circumstances.
But it was locked.
Right.
And the washing machine running.
A mystery for sure.
Do you not love that audio file? I mean, when I first heard it, like the first 5 seconds, I was like, you know, it sounds like this elderly woman. I don't know. And
right.
Then I listened to the rest of it, and I went, oh, my God, I love this woman. I'm going to look it up who she is. I want to go knock on her door and have a cup of coffee with her.
Right.
She was just so sweet.
Yeah.
She was so sweet.
Oh, absolutely.
And I love it. Right, when she said I cleared the house and started talking about I can't handle a handgun anymore, I'm like, okay, I love this. Who is this lady?
She's a cool lady.
Tom, I'm going to try to contact her, and we're going to go have coffee with her and say, you were on our podcast.
That'd be great.
Right?
We'd love that.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. When I heard the rest of that, I went, okay, she's cool. So anyways, it's still a mystery. It's still under investigation. We don't know who locked the door or started the washing machine.
Wow.
Yeah.
And nobody was found on the premises.
Nobody.
She cleared the house.
And the dog didn't find anybody, and the deputies didn't find anyone. And even if we did, I'd hate to tell her that we found somebody.
Right.
You know what I mean? That she didn't find him.
How bizarre.
Because she knew what she was doing. She was clearing the house.
Yeah.
With a dog. Canine handler.
Well, it's another obvious UFO incident.
Something's happening on top of Hamilton Creek over there.
Strange.
You know?
We're not sure.
Hey, but the listeners can stay tuned, because if we do solve this, we'll let you know who was washing their clothes and locked the door.
And we'll let you know if they had the right cycle on for the clothes that they were washing. Very important things.
I want to know what she did with the clothes when the washer was done.
Yeah, right.
Did she dry them? And whose clothes were they?
Yeah.
Questions.
So many questions.
So many.
So many questions. Hopefully we'll get some answers on the future Justice Files podcast. There's a wildlife incident. A resident in unincorporated Breckenridge reported seeing a bear rummaging through a trash can. Not unusual this time of the year. The resident also observed a man walking toward the bear while carrying a rifle.
Hi, I'm a Peak 7 neighborhood resident, and I was just driving up and down Blue Ridge Road, and there was a bear in a trash can, which was not unusual. But then as I came back down, there was a guy walking towards that trash can with a gun. I'm like, that doesn't feel right.
Oh, okay. Do you know where on Peak 7 it was? What address?
The beer going through the trash can. Yeah. But the rifle.
Blue Ridge Road.
Doesn't feel right.
And it was just up from where you turn off Barton Road. And you'll know it if you send someone there. There's a trash can on its side with trash all over the place.
And the male had a gun, right, he said?
Yeah, he was walking down the street towards the trash can, holding what looked like a, I don't know, some kind of gun. It was a rifle-looking one.
A rifle-looking one. But...
Very rifle-looking.
Yeah. It is bear season. I mean, bears, I mean, by that is they're coming out.
Yeah.
They're out.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, they're out.
They have been out and they're looking for food, calories, sustenance, and they'll go through anything, anywhere.
Hey, and in Summit County, it's not odd to see someone walking down the road with a rifle either.
That's true. During Especially during hunting season.
I was going to say, yeah. The bears are out.
But I'm thinking there's no open hunting season at this time of the year.
No. No, we looked for the bear. We found the trash can.
Yeah.
Because, you know, she described that really well. And anyone listening to this has ever seen a trash can that a bear's got into? It looks like a bomb went off.
Yeah.
There's no mistake.
Shredded.
When a bear has been in a trash can.
Right.
But the deputies were unable to find any evidence of the bear. Well, that's not true. They found the trash can.
Right.
But the bear was gone, and so was the man. And the rifle.
No evidence to go on when you get to the scene.
And we don't know that if they left the scene separately, if they left together.
Right.
We don't know.
Maybe everybody just left happily ever after.
He may have invited the bear in for a cup of coffee.
Hey, could be. Hey, there's a Lyle Lovett song about that, isn't there? Having a bear out to lunch or something like that?
The problem with the bear is after they go through the trash can, they tend to poop right after that.
Ah, yes.
And then have you ever seen someone's car that's been destroyed or housed by a bear?
Yeah.
It's the trash is the least of your worries.
There's some scat.
Oh, scat is the word.
Yeah. Domestic animals, a resident of unincorporated Breckenridge, reported to deputies that she suspected her neighbor had been shooting her dogs with an airsoft gun whenever they barked. She explained that there had been an ongoing dispute between her and her neighbor for years. Although she didn't have any concrete evidence, she found pellets in her backyard.
Yeah,
the dogs are barking.
Yeah, dogs are barking. There's pellets on the ground. She put it together in her mind the neighbor's probably shooting her dogs. And as sometimes happens when the animal control officer or deputy shows up and starts talking to the people, they feel now relieved that somebody heard them and talked to them. And they go, you know what? I don't want you to go talk to Tom. I'll figure it out. Maybe Tom didn't shoot him. Because there is no one ever saw anyone shoot the pellets. She just found the pellets.
Just the pellets.
And because she has an ongoing, you know, it's interesting to me, long-standing neighbor.
Right.
You know, the Hatfields and McCoys.
The feuds.
Yeah, it's crazy. You would think, like, in today's world, that how do you live next door to someone that you don't get along with?
Right.
Or what a nightmare to live next door to someone you don't get along with.
It would not be a pleasant thing.
No. God.
So deputies arrived, inspected, and found
nothing.
Nothing.
Except the spent pellets. And then she says, you know what? Don't go talk to the neighbor. It's okay. I'll figure it out. It's like, but you guys are in an ongoing dispute, and you haven't figured it out yet. Now you're going to figure it out?
Okay.
Okay.
Well, good for
you. Okay,
them.
Let us know if we can help.
Hopefully
always here for you.
There will be no more calls to that neighborhood.
Don't we wish. Not till next week's
right.
Justice Files.
There is a speeding incident. A deputy on routine patrol observed an Audi driving at a high rate of speed, passing multiple cars at once. And on radar, the vehicle was clocked 98 in a 55 zone. Going fast.
117. Black Audi. Can you start a silver burn here? 98. Driver's license?
Yes, sir.
How old are you?
18.
Okay.
Parents' insurance rates are going to go way up.
Insurance for the car?
yes, sir. It's on my phone.
Okay. If you just want to hang out, do you guys have driver's licenses? Perfect, man. I'll get you. You'll be driving away, okay? Okay.
He's telling the passenger you'll be driving away.
Oh. The driver won't be.
The driver will not be driving away.
just to prepare the passenger for what's to come.
I'm going to arrest this kid for 100.
100?
Yep. Here's this for you. I think, Cole, you might just hop out for me,
sir.
Here's the bad news. Step out for me.
Step back to my car. Anybody change my back? You are under arrest, okay? Do you have anything in your pockets that's illegal or anything like that?
No, I have my phone.
Okay. My anything phone. Else in your car you want?
No, sir.
Yeah, that's
my jar of weed.
No, that's with the dude in the car.
Oh, that's the other one.
Yeah.
All right, get it. There's the keys to the car. He's going to Summit County Jail for a couple charges. It's down to Brett, okay?
Okay, well, from here, we're Steamboat bound.
Yeah.
What would your recommendation be?
You can go bail him out in jail.
Well, like, what's the process of that?
You just got to be booked in, and then you'll get a bail.
Like what?
Just
amount of dollars?
It's, I don't know how much it is.
Oh, okay.
I'll pay you back.
But,
so we can turn around and go.
You can, yeah.
Perfect, thank you.
Okay.
All right, guys, all have right, a good day.
You too.
All right. And off they went.
So all you speeders out there, you can be arrested for excessive speed. So and will be.
What is considered excessive speed?
Well, I mean, over 20 miles an hour, you can be subject to an arrest. And this was way over that.
Yeah.
But, you know, have these areas on our state highways, you know, like Highway 9, Highway 6, that there's some straightaways that people just tend to, as you know.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I get passed by those people all the time.
And so, you know, it makes a great example, especially when there's other people in the car, when the driver goes to jail and you go, here, you get to drive the car because he's going to jail.
Oh, boy, oh, boy.
Oh, boy, oh, boy. So not only the insurance is going to go up, but the lawyer fees.
Yeah. There's a lot of expense involved with something like that. Holy cow.
Just don't. I mean, passing cars at that speed, I mean, you're asking for trouble.
Yep. You can get pulled over at any time.
Yeah, or kill someone or yourself or your passengers.
And hopefully you get pulled over in time before anything happens.
I mean,
like
you're passing cars at that speed, and all of a sudden there's some car coming head on at you, and you got to jerk your car over. You're going to flip it or lose control of it.
Very dangerous.
All speed of those limits, happen.
Speed limits are posted for a reason. It's an idea. They're not a challenge, by the way. It's...
They're not a suggestion.
It's not a suggestion. Right. Next item is a disturbance. A man at the DMV became irate and belligerent when his appointment was not on time. The man became verbally disruptive, causing a scene and making others feel uncomfortable enough to leave. And we have audio on this.
I did my appointment properly a month ago.
Is that the paperwork for the appointment?
No, this is the pay for it. All I wanted to do is come back. I sat out there quietly, waiting for my appointment at 9:09. The security guard asked him if I need to check in. And he said, well, I'll talk to you out in the hallway.
Okay.
Then he took me outside and says, well, you got to have somebody here to get your ID. I said, no, I don't.
Okay.
So I got the paper right here.
Let's see what you got.
To pay for it. I'm sorry, my appointment.
Okay.
I've done everything properly.
You said your appointment was at 9:09?
Yeah, but until this happened.
Yeah, let's see what you got.
Here's the bill. So I'll go to my email. This is after the incident, like, 5-6 months ago when I got my ID.
Okay.
But right here. But we have people going first. Now, I'm not trying to be... I said I'd go out there and be quiet.
Mm-hmm. Well, I know that...
All I need is my ID.
Yep. I mean, if there's people that have appointments before you and maybe they're running a little bit late...
That's no problem.
Yeah.
That's no problem. And I'll go out there and be quiet and shut my mouth and not say another word.
Okay.
But could you stand by so when they take care of them... that he can understand because he says that I have to have you in order to get it.
If they are willing to take you today for your appointment and get you an ID,
please.
I'll be happy
I
will be happy to hang out.
Well, you attempted to tell me I can't get my ID. No, not until you tell me I can get my fucking ID.
Tony, it sounds like they're willing to help you out, but you got to wait outside, and as soon as I finish talking to them, I'll be out to wait with you, okay?
That's fine.
right. So I'm coming in tomorrow to talk to the manager.
Okay.
So the best I can do, and there's no guarantee that he's going to be served, because if he acts like he generally does, then he's going to be
turned. Hey, either way, you don't tell me how to
Donnie,
do
that. Wait, don't touch me.
Don't touch me. You're on camera.
I am.
You're on camera.
We don't want you in here.
I don't care.
Leave.
You're dealing with my case. Stop touching me. You're touching me and assault me.
I've got paperwork for you, but we got to talk.
This is over an ID.
Okay?
Wow. Shit, don't fucking touch me. I didn't touch you. Leave. Don't fucking touch me.
It's not like a missing lottery ticket. It's an ID.
Okay. So the paperwork that they gave me, you have an appointment tomorrow, 8 o'clock.
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Okay. I apologize.
Okay.
I like you.
I like you and fucking Brian and all the sheriffs.
And I know you can't change anything to the fact that I like you, but I like you and all the sheriff's department I've always liked.
Man, we've never had
an endorsement.
Company, and we've always seen kind of eye to eye, even after not seeing eye to eye.
I apologize.
Just come back tomorrow morning. When you come in, just give us a call.
No problem.
Okay, because they're not going to serve you unless we're here.
Gotcha.
Okay?
Gotcha. I appreciate
it. Okay? So, just come back tomorrow morning. You know, give us a call. I mean, we'll be here. We'll get
explicit instructions, right?
I was never going to get fined, but I wasn't going to make it stiff and hard and fucking not leave. Because by the Constitution of the United States, I don't have to leave public property. I haven't done any community crime.
But they do
I
have
love people's interpretation of the Constitution of the United States.
No, they don't. And if they do, they can have a lawsuit. Now, that's
it obviously
simple.
Has DMV rules. You just have to look in the fine print of the Constitution. So, it has rules for the DMV in there.
Yeah.
But I'll be back tomorrow.
That's what he says.
Yeah. I'll be back tomorrow.
Yep, we'll be in and out in 10 minutes, man. It'll be super easy. But as long as you remain cool and calm with us and them, man, there won't be any kind of issues, right?
I have a phone to call you.
All right. Another DMV issue where somebody just got a little too impatient.
Why is the DMV such a point of stress? I mean, I can remember since I was a little kid, everyone always talking about oh, my God, I got to go to the DMV. Oh, my God.
I've never had a bad experience, personally.
Personally, I've never had either.
Yeah.
I mean, and you know, when you and I were growing up, you didn't make appointments. You just went to the DMV.
Yeah, you show up, you wait in line, wait your turn, and number 49, serving 49, and you go up there.
Yeah, you take the little number ticket.
Right. Yeah,
and you stare up at the digital display like an alarm clock.
Wait for your number.
Yeah, so he was trespassed. I think it's smart in today's world on the DMV staff to say, hey, listen, we're not going to do your appointment today now because you've been an asshole.
Right.
We're going to give you an appointment for tomorrow. Come back, cool off. We're going to make sure the deputy is here. We don't need another scene. Let's just see if he follows the rules.
So we don't know.
I think we'll know here in a few minutes.
Okay. Stay tuned.
Just a few more minutes.
There is a dispute. A woman reported being harassed in the A Basin parking lot while she was holding a parking spot for her husband. Another driver attempted to take the spot and refused to leave when the woman informed them that her husband would be arriving shortly. The driver yelled at the woman, telling her to move. Did she?
No, not until the deputies arrived. But what's interesting about this is that, can you imagine the husband showing up and having no idea what his wife has gotten into?
Well, it depends on how well he knows his wife.
Well,
it could be one of those things, oh, no, here we go again.
He might be pulling up and look at it and go, and then turn around and make a U-turn and get the hell out of there. But this is one of those crazy things again. Like, you look at this, and I wish we had audio on it, but you think like it's a big nothing? This again went. People had so many questions about this call. Wanting to know, like we just talked about, like what did the husband do when he got there? Was there a fight? It's like, no, they just moved the car, and when the deputy showed up, and there was no crime, there was no actual threat. But people went crazy online and everywhere about what happened at A Basin. What happened with the parking spot? We want to know. I hate to tell everyone on the podcast, but nothing. Nothing happened.
All ado about nothing.
About nothing.
Wow.
Nothing.
Well, thankfully.
Yeah. I agree with that one.
Everything worked out fine. Let's talk about a dog at large. A resident in unincorporated Breckenridge reported that a large husky-type dog broke through his screen door while chasing his cat. hats.
Yeah, now think about that, Tommy. It broke into his house, into not his out house. Of the yeah. house.
Oh, the cats were unharmed, and the resident got the dog out of his house. But it reported that the dog was now on the loose, and he wanted the owner to pay for the damages.
I was trying to get a hold of animal control. I had a dog break through my door and come into my house. He's out of the house now. I didn't know who to call.
It's out of the house now?
It's out of the house now, yes. If he's kind of floating in and out of the woods up there.
Okay.
I don't see him now. Whoever owns this dog, we have a phantom screen, and he completely destroyed that and came into my house after my two cats.
Okay. I'll put in there that you want a follow-up.
Yeah, because I need to find the owner because somebody's going to have to pay for this door.
Somebody's going to have to pay for this door. How did the cats get in? They have a little cat door?
I guess. I know they're indoor. So what happened is they're indoor cats.
Okay.
Dogs walking off, you know, just as a lot of people do, let their dogs out to do anything. Dog comes walking by, sees them through the screen, and charges, punches right through the screen door.
Cats were not outside.
No.
Oh, I was thinking the cats are outside and they ran inside. The dog's chasing them in.
The dog saw them. This is one of those ones where I'm amazed at like how calm the caller is. Like, yes, Husky was outside, charged through my screen, broke through my fancy screen door after my cats, and now he's left. I just want someone to pay for the screen, you know?
Yeah.
It's like, dude, a dog just... A husky, not just any dog, a large dog just busted through your front door.
Jeez.
Chasing your cats, and you're like, I just liked animal control to come over. So yeah, animal control did come over. They did find the dog and therefore found the owner, and the owner agreed to pay for everything and was very apologetic.
Wow.
Hey, could have been a bear.
Yeah.
But it was a dog. Husky. Large dog.
And if the bear breaks the window, there's nobody to pay for that.
There's nobody.
Oh.
I guess you could go ask the U.S. Forest, or the Department of Wildlife, U.S. Forest Service, somebody.
I don't think they're going to answer that call.
No.
Well, thankfully, the dog owner stepped up on this one. Very cool.
Yeah, I wonder what they're going to do to prevent the dog from doing. I mean, now I wonder if it's like a bear. You know, they say bear gets food, is successful, they'll come back. I wonder now that he was successful breaking through, chasing the cats.
Right.
Like, hey, I'm going to do that tomorrow.
You got to worry about bear proofing now, dog proofing your house. Oh my!
Oh.
It's always fun and exciting living in the mountains of Summit County, Colorado. There was a cat at large. A woman living in Dillon Valley reported a possibly stray and feral cat in the hallway of her apartment building. The cat was unfriendly, hissing, and swatting at people who walked by.
What is happening with animals in Summit?
There's a feral cat in our hallway. We believe he's a stray cat.
What's it doing?
Hey.
He was just kind of chilling there, was hissing for a little bit.
Yeah, he has approached.
Yeah, he was had someone approached at.
Can you give me a description? Like color, type, if you know.
Claws.
Breed.
Fur, tail, ears.
He's an orange tabby cat. He's right at the door. It's propped open, so maybe he'll leave on his own.
Okay. Collar at all?
No collar, right? No collar.
Never seen it before?
No.
I'll let our animal control personnel know, right?
Okay.
All right. If it takes off, just call and let us know, or that way we can let animal control know that it's taken off and they're going to have to look elsewhere.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks. All right.
All right.
Oh, that was touche, my friend.
Yeah.
That was good. I want to know where elsewhere is. Because the animal control will have to look elsewhere. Where is elsewhere?
Elsewhere, they had a TV show, Saint Elsewhere. Right? Remember that one from the 80s?
I wondering where elsewhere is. Yeah,
it's way out there.
You know, so here we have the dog breaking into the house.
Yeah.
Calm caller. Like, right. Hey, dog broke into my house, smashed my, chased my... And now we have it was described as a feral cat that's unfriendly, hissing and swatting at people. And we're just going to call saying, could you just send animal control to come collect this tabby cat? Yeah.
It's bothering us.
But you said it's hissing and swatting at people.
So the cat was...
They caught it. Found. Animal control caught it.
Oh, wow.
And it was chipped. So someone loves this cat.
Yeah.
And they found the owner and gave it back.
Huh. Okay. Not so feral after
Didn't
all.
Didn't have to go look... apparently not. Apparently it's only feral because something happened in that hallway. I want to know.
Just didn't like people in the hallway.
And maybe it was the caller that was hissing and swatting at the cat.
Ah, we don't know.
And... just trying to, reverse it on saying, hey, the cat was hissing and swatting at me. Maybe if they were able to interview the cat would say, no, that lady that called was hissing and swatting at me.
Mm-hmm. We'll never know.
Because we don't speak cat.
Unfortunately. I think there's an app for that. Hold on. I can pull that up. Translator app.
You know, it's so sad. I bet you there is an app.
There's got to be.
But you can talk to your cat.
Yeah. Let's talk about a search and rescue incident. Three climbers who were approximately two-thirds of the way up Quandary Peak called for help when one member of their group fell ill.
911, what is the address of your emergency?
All right, we are currently two-thirds up on Quandary Peak by the Blue Lake Trailhead, right by the dam. My friend is currently suffering severe altitude sickness, and given the current weather conditions, we don't think we can make it down.
I'm sorry, are you telling me that you went up the West Ridge?
It was the Blue Lake Dam, pretty much straight vertical up, and we are to the right of where we are right now, about 2 meters of the way up.
Okay, your cell phone coverage is really, really not good. What is the name of the Kolur?
Cristo.
Can you spell that?
Cristo.
Almost stumped him. Can you spell that?
And you started from Blue Lakes and went up Cristo Kolur?
Yes, sir.
And how far up it are you? Would you estimate you are?
I would estimate two-thirds of the way up.
How old is your son?
This is my friend, and he is 19-1-9.
Is he conscious right now?
Yes, sir. He is conscious, but weak.
Do you have anything indicating your latitude and longitude?
Yes, sir. Please give me a couple seconds.
Okay. Take your time and get me that information if you can, please. How many people are in your party besides yourself and your 19-year-old friend?
There is one other person.
Okay.
The other person is a white male. The one experiencing the nausea and altitude is a white male, and I am an Asian male.
Do you guys have plenty of warm clothes with the weather moving in?
Yes, sir. We have enough.
Do you guys have plenty of food and water?
Yes, sir. We have sustenance.
You got plenty of life on your cell phone?
Yes, sir. We have portable chargers as well.
Okay. And are you acclimated to the mountains, or did you drive and start hiking, essentially?
That's pretty much what happened. We stayed the night last night, but we drove up yesterday, and then the effects of altitude, but the guy is...
Okay, and when you stayed in a hotel last night, was that up here at altitude, or was that down in Denver, or down in
the front? That was at altitude. Okay. That was at Breckenridge altitude, yes.
got all the information I need. What I'm going to do, what's going to happen now is I'm going to pass all this information on to the Summit County Sheriff's Office Search and Rescue Coordinator. They will look at the information, and then they will call you back. The phone number they're going to try to call you back on is their two phone numbers, so they could call you on the other ones if they have any problems getting through on that one. Just kind of, we have really good cell coverage right now, so kind of stay where you're at if you're safe and wait for the coordinator to call you. They should call you very shortly. If you don't hear from somebody within 10 minutes, call 911 back.
Elevation, altitude. It's something that'll mess with you if you just come up from sea level or...
And try to hike a 14er.
Not a good idea.
Yeah, and quandaries are 14er. We have all the problems because... When you read all the websites and all the books, they all say it's an easy 14er, and it's not. The books lie.
First of all, any 14er is not easy. That's the bottom line. And comparatively speaking, it's a 14er. It's a 14,000-foot mountain peak.
Yeah, no matter what, it's 14,000. 14, yeah. It's like, what's heavier, a pound of gold or a pound of feathers? It's 14,000 feet is 14,000 feet.
Right.
No matter how you slice it. No matter how you hike it.
So search and rescue got involved.
Yeah, so our deputies, our backcountry deputies got involved with Summit County Rescue Group. They were able to get up to the three hikers and assist them back down and back to the parking lot, and they refused any further medical care, so they were going to go back to their hotel and recover. So
and suck on oxygen.
They probably went right to an oxygen bar.
Yeah.
But as you just said, I mean, this is the thing. We don't drive up to altitude and go, yes, I'm going to go scale a 14er. That is not acclimate for a couple of days.
Yeah, at least.
Yeah, and see if anyone in your party just gets sick just hanging out at the base.
Right, that happens.
Yeah, I mean, here at the valley floor at 9,700 feet, I mean, people... You know pretty quick. But at least they did the right thing as they, you know, the first person experienced sickness, they stopped. They didn't go, well, let's keep going. Right. Come on.
Yeah. Or, well, you wait here. We're going to keep going. We'll catch up on the way back.
Yeah, that's the other one, right?
That's the
and now we have scattered rescue parties. Yeah. Oh, God.
Boy.
Yeah, so we don't know what happened to them other than they all went back to the hotel and we got them off the mountain safely.
That's the main thing.
Successful rescue.
A DUI incident. Deputies were dispatched to a hit and run after a vehicle rear-ended another and continued driving without stopping. The suspect vehicle was located shortly after. Deputies attempted to initiate a traffic stop by activating their lights and repeatedly using their sirens, but the driver didn't stop. The vehicle was eventually stopped in a roundabout near Frisco as traffic in front of it forced the driver to halt.
A traffic jam.
911, what's the address of your emergency?
Sorry, we are leaving Breckenridge on 9, and we just had a Jeep rear-end us and take off. We're behind them. It's a black Jeep.
Are you northbound or southbound on Highway 9, going towards Frisco or?
Northbound on Highway 9. I'm sorry, I can't see on the map.
Just passing Cone Valley.
Coin Valley Road. Just passing that.
All right. And is anybody injured in your vehicle?
No, we're fine. We haven't gotten out of the vehicle at all to see what the extent of the damage is.
We were going to,
but
he took off.
Yeah, he took off, so we were just falling safely behind.
And so you still have him in sight?
Yes, we are about 50 yards behind.
I don't want you to do anything that would endanger you or anybody else in your vehicle. If this guy starts to accelerate to try to get away and breaks the speed limit, I recommend that you do not try to chase him. I've already created an incident that we're airing to local law enforcement, and so Frisco PD will be on the lookout for this vehicle as it comes into Frisco.
So, Tim, we're approaching Main Street, Frisco. Thanks.
I got a jump channel.
Negative.
Trying to get his attention again.
No! Hey! Stop!
he's literally walking up to the car who's stuck in a traffic jam, telling the guy to stop because he wouldn't pull over.
Put the car in park, please. Just stare at them.
Put your car in park. There's a sign.
I've got the car parked at the roundabout here, 7th Avenue. All right.
We've been behind you trying to get you to stop, man. How come you haven't stopped?
I didn't realize you.
Okay. Can you pull over right into that, you see where that exit is? If you go into the roundabout and just hang a right, can you do that?
Yeah.
Okay, is that cool?
Yeah.
Because that'll be a lot safer place for all of us to stop and talk, all right? Okay, so just pull right in there and stop.
Yep, thanks.
See what happens here.
We need, let's see if he takes off with it.
Okay, sir. My name is Mike. I'm with the sheriff's office. The reason we're stopping you is that we got a report that you hit another car and kept driving. Do you remember that?
I didn't hit a car.
You didn't hit a car? Okay, will you turn your vehicle off, please? All right, roll the window down all the way, please. That's all right. Just leave the window where it is, okay? Perfect.
Couldn't get it down. Great. Couldn't figure it out.
I had another deputy behind you quite a ways with the lights on, pretty much all the way from Recreation Way, about a mile up the road, and you didn't stop. Do you remember that?
Yeah.
You remember that?
Yep.
Okay, why didn't you stop?
Because I was turning around the corner.
Okay. I'm going to let you talk to Deputy Matthews over here for a second. Do you have your license, registration, and insurance, please?
Yep.
Okay, great. Thank you. I'm going to let you talk to Deputy Matthews. He knows more about the call, about the accident and all of that, so he'll just ask you everything and see if we can get this straightened out, okay?
What accident?
I'll let him explain it to you.
What accident?
Hey, man. Not much.
You know that bumper that's stuck on the front of your bumper?
Sure. What accident? So apparently he didn't realize that he tagged somebody.
Let's get the obvious out of the way. The guy's hammered, right?
Okay, there you go.
He says that he had one non-alcoholic beverage.
Okay.
That was probably spiked with alcohol.
Sure.
I imagine.
Yeah.
He just thought it was non-alcoholic. But what's crazy is when you hear the deputy walk up to him and say, stop, stop, stop.
Yeah.
It's because the only reason why the guy stopped was he hit our normal weekend traffic in the traffic jam. And the guy still didn't stop with the light that and kept hitting his horn and his siren. So he just figured, I'll get out of the car and run up to his car and go, hey,
yeah,
stop. Just stop. So the guy, there was damage to both vehicles. The guy denied being in an accident, denied knowing anything about it, denied everything. Ended up, of course, getting arrested for DUI and leaving the scene of an accident. But again, I just think it's funny how people react, like the people that called in again. Like, we were just rear-ended and someone hit us and took off. And
so nonchalant.
And we're following them.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're about 50 yards behind them.
Jeez.
It's like...
Thank goodness for calm people that are responsible to report these things.
I love calm people.
Yeah.
Then we get people that step out of the shower and break their toe and scream and yell like someone's been murdered.
That is not calm.
No.
No.
Thank God for audio, though. I mean, right? I mean, it just...
The audio makes all the difference.
It
makes all the difference. This is the Summit County Justice Files. Tom Fricke here from Crystal 93, and we're talking with Summit County Sheriff Jamie Fitzsimons in the sheriff's office in the Summit County Justice Center. Deputies were alerted to a motorcyclist lying in the grass next to his upright motorcycle on I-70. A passerby expressed concern as it was unusual behavior.
911, what's the address of the emergency?
I guess just north of the Highway 6 exit on I-70, just north of the Frisco exit, or sorry, is it Silverthorne exit? There's somebody that was riding a motorcycle, I guess, that's just laying in the grass on the side.
Okay,
I don't know
mile
if they're just in or, what mile marker?
like a mile past.
It's like a mile, I guess, past the cleanup area at the Silverthorne exit.
Okay, and you said going eastbound?
Eastbound, correct.
And you said you saw a motorcycler laying on the side there?
No, so the motorcycle is sitting upright, like someone just put it on its kickstand, and then the driver is, like, just laying in the grass on the right-hand side of the road.
Were you guys able to stop and tell if this person is conscious and breathing?
We did not stop, so we don't.
Did he look injured? Did it look like he crashed?
No, so the person is upright, like they put the kickstand out, like left there standing up with the kickstand, and then the person is just laying on the side of the road like they're taking a nap.
Okay, you think he's napping?
Perhaps, yeah. We were just like, do we think that guy's okay?
What's
and
the alternative?
Description of like the bike or what the driver would have been wearing or anything else, any kind of further descriptors?
I remember orange. Was the bike orange? Was the driver also orange? A dirt bike, I guess, not a motorcycle. Sorry.
Okay. Okay.
I just remember a lot of orange.
Out to some responders. I'm getting some medical stage as
orange.
Well, just in case. Yeah, you're
all right.
Welcome.
I appreciate it. Thanks. Okay, bye.
So was he just taking a nap, enjoying the scenery?
He was literally just waiting for a friend.
That was it.
He just...
No big deal.
Deputies came up to him, woke him up, and he says, you know, I've just been riding for a while and decided to lay down in the grass and called a friend, and friend's going to come meet him. You're like, you're in the middle of the interview. You're halfway between Silverthorne and the tunnel.
Yeah.
You're on the tunnel grade. And someone's going to, a friend is going to come meet you and you're just resting off your motorcycle?
Okay.
And is this friend a furry friend or a human friend?
Yeah.
Or a
imaginary friend.
Imaginary friend? UFO friend? Like, I mean, I would love... I don't know how people operate like this, Tom. I don't know how they just go, I think I'll stop here and call Tom and just lay down and take a nap. It won't look weird to thousands of cars going by.
Driving by at just mere feet away.
That I just get off my motorcycle and...
And just pass out.
And just pass out.
Yeah.
And probably look dead.
But, I mean, you know, in defense of our beautiful... beautiful mountains that we have here. I mean, you just pull off the road anywhere and just kind of lay back in the grass and you look around the mountains, the sky, and the birds are chirping, and it's such a beautiful sight, and you just get a doze off to sleep.
Yeah. Hey, with the white noise of the hum off the interstate, right?
Oh, that probably just puts you to sleep so quick.
But I wonder what goes through people's mind like this, where they don't think, like, someone might be concerned driving by and go, oh, my God, we just saw a guy... Just get off his motorcycle and fall in the grass, and he looks, well, I don't know if he's asleep, but he's not moving.
He was fine.
He was fine, and he acted like we were weird for, like, thinking he was weird. Like, why is that weird? I stopped on a middle of an interstate.
Yeah.
Just to lay down in the grass.
Nothing weird about that.
Hey, it's a free country. It says it in the Constitution of the United States. Ask the guy at the DMV. It says it right in there, along with the rules of the DMV.
Right.
Yes.
It's right there.
It says you can lay in the grass on the interstate.
Yeah, probably... wise idea to find a better place to take a nap.
Oh.
Let's talk about a disturbance. Frisco Library staff reported a man who was cursing and yelling in the building, and the man hadn't threatened anyone, but they were concerned for him and worried that he would come back and cause another disturbance.
Guess who this is?
I think I saw the guy today, as a matter of fact. He walks around a lot in Frisco.
This is our DMV guy that we just talked about.
Oh, really?
This is, wow. This is the what I said,
okay,
hey, just
back.
Stay tuned.
Okay.
This is our guy. He came back and caused another, started it all over again.
So this wasn't at the DMV, this is at the library.
The
same building.
Yes, because now they're in the same building.
Right.
So the library's right outside the DMV. They share that hallway.
Yeah.
And now he's out in the hallway because he got thrown out of the DMV again. But it's the library now calling on him because he's disturbing the peace of the library. And of course it was all over the rules that are in the Constitution of the United States that say how the DMV should act, and they weren't acting that way. And he...
Or the library rules on the Constitution as well.
You know, we don't have an audio on this, unfortunately, right. But I wonder if he would have said that the rules for the library and how they should behave are also in the Constitution of the United States. But this is the same... This is why when I said a few calls ago, just stay tuned. He's back. He came on the day he was supposed to come with his appointment, but just got thrown out again. And did not, in case you're wondering, did not complete the deal.
So this was the day after the initial appearance at the DMV. He was scheduled to come back the next day
they said,
after he'd calmed down.
We're going to let you calm down.
Yeah.
We're going to give you an appointment first thing in the morning. Come back. And when you come back, we'll have a deputy here. But he didn't come back at the scheduled time when the deputy was there. He came back on his own time. He may have been lying in the grass
right.
on I-72. Oh. Maybe this was the friend that was meeting the guy. I don't know, Tom.
So many questions.
I mean, maybe this explains the I-70 motorcycle guy. Maybe this explains
the UFOs.
The washer running and the door locked.
Well, yeah, exactly.
Under no circumstances that door ever locked.
Uh-huh.
And the washing machine, maybe it's all related. But because he didn't show up at the scheduled time when the deputy was there waiting to make sure it was a smooth transaction,
right.
He got thrown out again and did not complete the deal. So I imagine we'll hear about him again on the Justice Files.
Stay tuned.
Stay. And we'll make sure we get audio. Yeah,
tune in for a future episode.
It just never ends.
A traffic stop. A deputy on routine patrol in Dillon Valley observed a driver speeding going at least 40 miles an hour in a posted 25 zone. And then watched the driver run straight through a stop sign. The deputy activated their lights to initiate a traffic stop. The driver failed to yield for approximately a quarter of a mile when he eventually pulled over.
Yeah, this is another one where I wish we had good audio, but the problem with this one was it wasn't an English.
Oh.
And so, as you know, we've tried before, the translation never works out. It's not as funny as it probably
exactly.
could have been.
Yeah.
But this was another guy, like the last guy we talked about that was hammered, that rear-ended the car and didn't know he... Accident? What are you talking about?
Accident.
So this guy gets pulled over for speeding, running through a stop sign. Deputy, again, activates their lights and siren, follows him for a good quarter mile before the guy pulls over. And, of course, he hasn't been drinking. He hasn't been, you know, denies everything.
Of course.
You know, remember we talked about the Cheech and Chong description, you know, the smoke's pouring out the windows,
yeah.
right? He's
right.
like, marijuana, what?
What?
No one's smoking marijuana
not
here.
Not here.
Because the deputy's getting a contact high by the window. You know what I mean?
Oh,
and then, of course, asks if he, you know, where he's going, and he gives the deputy some unbelievable story. And what made it more unbelievable is the direction he was heading was the opposite direction of where he said he was going.
Of course.
So it's all making sense, right?
Yeah.
And of course, you know, the deputy notices the cut limes up in the cup holder of the center console.
Oh, nice.
And then looks around a little more and finds the empty liquor bottle.
Oh.
Empty liquor bottle.
Was it tequila?
You know, it didn't say what it was, okay. but
I'm just thinking limes.
Limes.
With
I'm
tequila.
Thinking whatever goes yeah. good with limes, and it's usually right. tequila shots,
sure.
right?
Uh-huh.
but the fresh cut limes in the center console were just a great little detail, you
yeah.
know?
Just a little giveaway.
So he was obviously taken into custody. He was he had already had some violations against his driver. No, I'm sure it's not a surprise, but previous violations against his driver's license, points and such. And he was taken into custody and arrested. And as what usually happens is a routine check of his passenger through the big system, the passenger had a warrant.
Oh.
So everybody went to jail.
Oh, boy. Everybody's going to jail.
And the story ended happily ever after at the Summit County Detention Facility.
Keeping dangerous people off the
don't
road.
Don't drink and drive. Don't have fresh cut limes in your car. Don't have smoke billowing out your windows when you finally roll them down. And if you're the passenger, once the cops pull you over and you know you have a warrant, it might be a good time to go, hey, Tom, you're on your own. I'm out of here.
Yeah.
Get out of the car. Walk away.
And go, can you do that?
I don't want to say, you know what I mean? I don't want to give clues away to people, but, right. you know, I mean, you know, there's a version where you could have just got out of the car and walked away.
Yeah.
Hey, I'm just a hitchhiker. I'm just passenger.
Yeah, right.
I don't know this guy.
No idea. I'm out. See you. Bye. Another traffic incident. A deputy observed a driver roll through a stop sign and pulled the driver over. The driver claimed that he did not have a driver's license, a passport, or any other sort of ID to give to the deputy. He also claimed that he didn't have a social media or anything else that might show his name. He wrote down a name and a date of birth on a piece of paper for the deputy, and... What happened?
It was all fake.
Oh, my gosh. No.
Yeah, the social media, I think that was pretty creative of a deputy going,
very.
Do you have any social, can you show me something on social media with your face and name? I mean, yeah. Everyone has social media.
Sure.
And the guy couldn't even come up with that. The deputy did end up finding out who this guy was. Of course, he was driving without a driver's license. He was driving with warrants. And, of course, he was intoxicated and went to jail for all of the above. So there's a lot of dangerous drivers off the road. Kudos to the deputy. I mean, we're making fun of it, but kudos to the deputies.
Oh, absolutely.
And, you know, let's not, it's not lost on us. We should remind people that
right.
We're making fun of it, but it's not funny. The incident's funny.
It is.
But it's not funny drinking and driving.
Not at all. And thanks to the Summit County Sheriff's Office and the deputies for keeping our roads safe and getting those dangerous drivers off the
road.
Yeah,
they do a great job out
absolutely.
There.
Absolutely, yeah. Let's talk about a fraud incident. A resident of unincorporated Frisco called deputies after being scammed out of over $14,000 after receiving a call from an 800 number identified as Wells Fargo on her phone. The woman said that she received a call from the bank identifying as the fraud department, which asked her to confirm several transactions, which she did not recognize. 14 grand?
Yeah, isn't that crazy?
Jeez.
You know, last time on the Justice Files, we talked about, you know, $150,000 being taken. I mean, these scams are getting more complicated, and they're getting away with more and more money. This poor victim, they advised her that they were going to put her account on hold, and then they walked her through how to download a remote browser so they could help her with her accounts, and they sucked every penny out of them.
Boy.
You know, our investigators were able to hook her up, obviously, with her bank and get her accounts frozen, and it'll be up to the up to Wells Fargo, the bank, and her to work out whether she'll get that money back. This was obviously traced, as they usually are, offshore, you know, foreign countries. But boy, I mean, I know you and I have talked about these for years, but it is becoming not only more prevalent, but more complicated and more sophisticated, and they're getting bigger and bigger dollar amounts. If you're just not sure, hang up and call the number you know is your bank.
Right.
Just hang up. They just tug at you, and you think it's real, and you think, oh, my God, I'm going to lose this money, and then you really do lose the money.
More fraud. You think 14 grand was big. In March, patrol investigated a fraud in which an elderly couple were scammed out of about $44,000. This fraud started with an email from PayPal. In quotes, PayPal, stating that a payment was made to someone, and she called to dispute the charge. Eventually, when speaking to the fraud department, she spoke to a suspect who asked her to share her computer screen. And that's where things went downhill.
Yeah, this is another similar, you know, just another internet fraud scheme where they convinced someone to do this. And what's interesting is as our detectives worked through this case and served a couple search warrants, they came up with a name. So they thought they were on a lead of who was doing these scams. And it turned out that the search warrant they served and the name they came up with, the suspect, turned out to be a victim of identity theft here in northern Colorado here.
Really?
And this guy ended up coming down to talk to detectives to prove that he was a victim himself and that these fraudsters now were using his identification to commit more frauds and other thefts. Credit card thefts and other thefts throughout the state and probably throughout the country.
Yeah.
And then the eventual path again led offshore, unfortunately. So this is another person that unless the bank makes them whole, they'll never see that money again. And sometimes this is people's retirement, life savings.
Oh, absolutely.
It's everything. And so it's really, really unfortunate and really sad, but again, if you're not sure, don't click on a link. don't tap on your phone because you have that tapping syndrome where you tap on everything.
Right.
Just pause. Make some phone calls. You know, hang up on the person who's calling you or say, you know what, I'm going to call my bank. Thank you. And don't ask them for a number, or if they give you one, don't call that number back. Call the number you know. Turn your bank card over and call the customer service number on your physical card.
The banks are well familiar with all the frauds going on. And with I read an article recently that is the primary concern with banking systems these days is the fraud, the scams.
Yeah, it is completely out of control. And, you know, you and I have watched it evolve over the years. Mm-hmm. I mean, you and I get them, too, and we talk about them. Yeah. And we get them on our phones. We compare. I get them literally daily between email and text.
I got an email. It was an invitation from my daughter for a party.
Oh boy,
let's open it. So I click on it, and all it wanted was my credentials, my login credentials for my email account.
Oh, like, of course.
Oh, okay.
Wow.
Right away, that's the red flag.
Yeah. And it worked. It tugged on your heartstring. You said, oh, my God, my daughter's having a party.
Oh, boy, I'm invited. Yeah. Awesome. Yeah.
Instead of going, wait, I'm going to call her and say, did you send me an invite?
Right. Scam.
Hey, listen.
She got hacked.
You though sitting here admitting it though. That's great.
Yeah.
You know, because it helps people.
No,
people
absolutely.
Go, God, if Tom fell for it, I'm gonna listen.
I only fell for it once.
Once was it?
Once was with the red, white, and blue fire department. That email went out.
Oh yeah.
For the RFP. Click on it here.
Yes.
And it's like, oh, and I just fill in an email credential. I didn't even think twice about it. It's like, oh yeah, they probably need this. And then the email came up from red, white, and blue saying that. Don't click on that. It's fraud. It's
and what's interesting is that's one of those old school ones where they steal someone's accounts and steal all your contacts because someone else had clicked, and they send it out to all their contacts.
And it all looks legit. But it's not. So if you're asked to put in your credentials, your login passwords, anything like that, don't.
Yeah.
Don't do it.
Yeah, and make sure in an event like that, if you're on your phone, like most people, like get out of all those screens.
Yeah.
And even shut down your phone and then power back on just to make sure you're completely out of the loop.
Always good to stay safe.
Oh, gosh.
And always good to stay alert because the scams are abundant.
Oh, my gosh. And you'll hear them here.
Yep. Well, and that's a wrap for this week. Until the scams come back next week, we'll talk about those. The Summit County Justice Files. I'm Tom Fricke with Crystal 93 with Summit County Sheriff Jamie Fitzsimons. And remember, knowledge is power, and a little laughter along the way doesn't hurt either.
Yeah, and just so we're clear, our coverage doesn't include every criminal case. We leave out the most serious and sensitive cases. And remember that all suspects are presumed innocent until proven guilty in a court of law. With that said, stay safe, stay informed, and if you're thinking about committing a crime, well, maybe don't. It never ends well, and you just might end up as our next feature.
Until next time, this is the Justice Files, where law meets laughs, and justice always has the final say. And you can also find the Justice Files on the Summit County Sheriff's Office website at summitsheriffcolorado.gov. And as always, Summit County Sheriff Jamie Fitzsimons, thank you for your service.
Thank you, Tom.